It's also been known as Decoration Day. When I was a kid, Decoration Day wasn't only for the soldiers, but for all of our family members. And my family would make crepe paper, flowers, and decorate the graves of those family members who had gone on. And every family had their own cemetery where I was from in Kentucky. And trouble is, it might rain right after those crepe paper flowers were set out. So they got to dipping them in wax to give them a little bit more life. And then, as I grew up, they started putting plastic flowers out. That was the ticket, because it would last a long time. We didn't have many fresh flowers quite yet in May, because it was early in the season, and they had real harsh winters sometimes. But taking and decorating the graves of the soldiers has been a practice since about the Civil War. And what I liked was that the people who decorated would cover both the Union and the Confederates, so no one was left out. But now it's become a holiday of 3 days. Some resent that it's conveniently moves around to the last Monday in May, the last Monday in May, and it becomes a three-day weekend, and sometimes the people who have fallen are left out completely. Just another day of camping or vacation, and the beginning of summer as well as Labor Day, the first Monday in September, is the end of summer, another three-day weekend. But we do want to honor those who have fallen, all of the wars of our country, beginning with the Revolutionary War, and also through the ones that we're fighting right now. We're still losing men and women in battle. So we want to honor them. We want to show our appreciation. We also have Veterans Day that is for all the living and the dead and the ones who have served even many, many years ago. And Armed Forces Day is a day that we celebrate those currently serving in serving our country. But this year, we celebrate tomorrow, May the 27th, and we want to honor, put a flag out, and appreciate those who have fought for our freedom. Now, Claire has a poem, and we have a song, and we want to honor those. And like Donnie said, we do have a lot going on. We have the message and then communion, and I wanted to keep that kind of continuous, so I want to do this right now.
Mighty Fortress Is Our God by Martin Luther. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabbath, his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle. And though this world, with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure. For lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours, through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Thank you. America the Beautiful. Hope. Oh, it's on the book. If you'd like to sing along, it's on page 12 in your hymnal.
Where we can be free and free to worship the Lord. That was the pilgrims' intent, to come and be able to worship God without the Church of England saying this, this, and this. And you know how many good preachers were kicked out of the Church of England? But they kept on preaching and kept on doing what God called them to do, and eventually many of them came here. And we have a place that's free for all religions. And seems like Christianity is getting kind of pushed out with that. That's crazy. But Christianity started what we're enjoying today, the freedom. And I appreciate, again, all those that died for our freedom. I want to say again, I appreciate Donnie and Audrey and Debbie and Becky and all those that have continued on while I've been getting cancer treatments and surgeries and all of that. Thank you so much. And we appreciate you that have attended. God bless you. I'm going to make two Western references today. Westerns are cowboy shows. And when I was growing up, that's what we had pretty much. Cowboy shows were prime time, but not anymore. But on The Lone Ranger, there's one introduction. I love the theme song for Lone Ranger because it's so peppy, but it says he was a fabulous individual. And I want to tell you, you all are fabulous individuals. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, the blessing that you are to Calvary Temple Church. Who you are is Calvary Temple Church today. We appreciate it. Appreciate our guests today. God bless you, and please come back and feel at home with us to worship the Lord. We need everyone's prayers and worship added to what we're doing. Amen. I'm going to speak this morning on a still small voice, kind of a pickup from last week. I did some research and I preached a very similar message a year or so ago in February, and I want to continue on with this, and we'll begin 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 8 through 18. I want to pray before we begin. Prayer is so important to us, and I appreciate what Audrey's got going in the annex here, the prayer wall. We need to pray for one another. It's so good. You know, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord gave him a victory, restored everything he lost double, except for his children. Just, I always said, just gave him better looking children and more well-behaved children, which may or may not be the case, but that's my subjection. That's my opinion, rather, on that. And let's pray that the Lord will bless this message. Jesus, touch our hearts today with this word. Lord, anoint your word that I speak. I pray, Lord, that you'll minister and that you'll help us all. We need you today. Bless the rest of this service and our communion, and all that we do and say will be glory and honor to your name. Amen. As Donnie said, I probably won't be here next week. I have to go back for cancer treatment while I've been dealing with my back surgeries. The cancer's kind of kicked up again, and so appreciate your prayers, but we're going to go back and get some more treatments. These are supposed to be a little easier to take. I hope to miss only one Sunday, but once I go to the hospital, it's up to my doctor how long I stay. So I'll stay whatever it takes, and then we'll come back and go again. The word of God says in 1 Kings 19 and 8, so he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the Mount of God. How would you like to eat a couple of meals and go on the strength of that 40 days? That's amazing. That's amazing. I like eating. I like fellowship. Took a long time after my chemo to where my taste buds came back. But boy, they're back, and I enjoy everything. Debbie and I went to a restaurant together for the first time since January 31st, Friday morning. Well, I rolled in the wheelchair down to Uncle John's Pancake House, and it was a real good breakfast. Our usual, we split a breakfast, and I tell you what, it tasted so good. But to go 40 days and 40 nights from the meal that the angel prepared. And he went about 180 miles away from where he was, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You remember in the beginning of Elijah's, well, I don't know, somewhere in the ministry of Elijah, the Lord said, go by the brook Cherith and wait. Kind of seclude yourself. The raven will come and bring you some food. And that happened. And then the Lord said, go and take care of this business. The Lord gave Elijah the strength, and he went to this place. And the Lord said, what are you doing? What is the purpose of being here? And then it goes on in verse 10, and he said, oh, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel has forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. In other words, Elijah's saying, hey, I'm the only one left, so I'm preserving the ministry and your righteousness and your word and your covenant. And verse 11, then he said, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. How many seen on news or Facebook or wherever about the storms that are hitting the Redding, Anderson, Shasta area? In a way, it's a beautiful cloud formation, but they've been hit with a mighty storm. I haven't, in the time that I've been loving the Shasta area, I haven't heard of anything like this. But this is a big storm in the Texas, Missouri area, throughout that whole corridor. They've been having horrible weather as well, and a lot of destruction. But this wind was mighty enough to tear into the rocks. But the scripture says the Lord wasn't in the wind. It's amazing how things can come, and you think, oh, that's the mighty rushing wind of God. But this wasn't it. This wasn't like on the day of Pentecost. This was wind. And so it goes on. And after the wind, an earthquake. There's a time in Acts 4 where the earthquake came, and it really meant something. It really stirred the apostles for the Lord. But in this earthquake, it says, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. It's something to get your attention, and it's a mighty disturbance of what's normal. But God wasn't in that. After the earthquake, a fire. How many's tired of fires? We've had the fire, the car fire in Whiskey Lake area and Redding area. We've had the campfire that destroyed two or three places, Paradise, Magalian, I forgot the name of the other, but destroyed. We've been there and visited family, and now there's not much left. They're building back a bit at a time. I'm tired of the fires that are destroying our neighborhoods, cities even. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. There was the fire of tongues set upon each and every one of them on the day of Pentecost. But this wasn't the fire of the Lord. But the scripture says, and after the fire, a still small voice. So sometimes we look and we see the great manifestations, but the Lord wasn't in that. There are times that people try to manufacture the Spirit of God moving. You do not have to manufacture the Spirit of God moving. When the Spirit moves, it'll be fire. It'll be earthquake. It'll be wind. But you don't have to manufacture that. God gave demonstration to Elijah that no doubt got his attention. So when the still small voice came, he could pay attention to what God had to say. I think sometimes God whispers in our ear. Just a softness, just a stillness, even a quietness. I have kind of been an advocate of letting God move the way he wants for a long time. O-line Pentecost, if it gets too quiet, people got nervous. They didn't know what to do. What are we going to do with this quiet? Sometimes God wants to move in a quietness. There was a time years ago in this church when I was leading a service on Thursday night, and the Lord said, just tell the people to be quiet. For a half an hour, we were quiet, and the Lord ministered, and I thought, wow, that's so relaxing, so powerful. God can move however he wants to. There are times we might be running the aisle. There are the other times where we're sitting, listening to God bring comfort and peace and power to us. So it was while Elijah heard it, it got his attention, and he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? God saying, assess where you're at. Because I'm going to get you on the move. When someone's discouraged and the battle's rough and they feel like retreating, God says, go. You know, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now let's understand that. I think a lot of times in our mind, we automatically reverse that to say that the gates of heaven, well, the devil cannot prevail against the gates of heaven. That puts us on the defensive. But the scripture is saying the gates of hell will not prevail against our offense for the Lord. We got to go after the devil. We've got to push our agenda. We've got to go and obey what the Lord is leading us to do. If God says get up and move, we got to move. If God says get up and minister, we've got to minister. Every one of us that have the power of the Spirit of God within us need to be hearing the Spirit of God and moving in that power. How many can say amen to that? We've got to move in the power of the Spirit of God. So suddenly a voice came and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left to seek, and they seek to take my life." Elijah didn't change his story. He still felt the same way. He was right about they killed the prophets with a sword. He wasn't right about being alone. He was right about them seeking to take his life. They tore down the altars. They forsake the covenant. But God's admonition and instruction to Elijah wasn't, "Oh, you better stay hidden." But it was, "Go. Go, and I'll be with you." And he gave Elijah perhaps one of the greatest promises in the Bible. And let's go that way, beginning with verse 15. "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, the king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphath of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place.'" In other words, Elijah, I'm giving you the chance to anoint your successor. "And it shall be whosoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whosoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And yet I have reserved 7,000. I think last week I said 700, but 7,000. All whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." In other words, God said, "You're not alone, brother. I've got people." But he also promised Elijah that, "I'm going to give you a successor, Elisha, because I'm going to take you away." And Elisha was taken away in the most beautiful, wonderful way. And just, he disappeared into the sky. The Lord took him. The Lord, without him going through death, just translated him to heaven. That's amazing. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So all the ministry of Elisha, the mighty things he did, the big battle with Ahab and Jezebel, and the great battle on Mount Carmel, you'd think that after that battle, Elisha would never have another doubt. But Elisha was just like you and I. God didn't condemn Elijah. He said, "Go. Go do. Elijah, I've got a few things for you to do, and then I'll take you home." But there's another great mountain. Elijah was taken away on a chariot of fire. But there's another mountain called Golgotha. Calvary. Aren't you glad we're Calvary Temple Church? It's good to be at Calvary. And as Audrey led this morning, the old rugged cross, here's my next Western reference. Years ago when I was a kid, there was an episode of Bonanza where there's a little chubby kid, probably late teenager, early 20s. And it was early enough in the series to where the Cartwrights went to church. And they went, and there was this kid that sang The Old Rugged Cross, beautiful voice. And this kid was Wayne Newton, who went on to sing a lot of other songs, probably more known for Donka Shane or one of those than The Old Rugged Cross. But he sang this on that show, and I'll tell you what, no matter where it is sung, there's powerful song, The Old Rugged Cross. And we'll read a few more words of that in a minute. But Jesus suffered and died that we might be born again. Today, we have relationship with the Lord because of the old rugged cross and Jesus giving himself to that suffering and to that death, to that horrific pain and so forth. Christ died for our sins. He won the victory for Israel and the whole world. Appreciate the Lord dying for us. In the book of John 19 and verse 30, it says, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. You know, nothing could have taken his life. He was a son of God. But he gave up his spirit. He offered himself. So in a moment, we're going to take communion. And we remember the fallen on Memorial Day. And we should remember them often. Every time you pass a cemetery that's got hundreds and thousands of people who have died having served our country and many who have died in battle. But we also need to remember every day Christ died to buy us freedom and a relationship. So that, as it says in Galatians 2 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. We don't have to go through the pain. We don't have to go through the hurt, the many wounds that Jesus suffered and died. We just have to be in agreement that he was crucified and that we understand who he was and what he and the price he paid. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We want to remember Jesus till he returns. Before we do communion, I want to share just a couple of songs. We already sang The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. We must cherish the cross. Till my trophies, that's all that we do on this earth. At last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. There's another song called Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. And I want us at Calvary Temple to be a place through our prayers, our openness to take people's burdens and to pray for others. How many doesn't have a need? How many is there who has never been brokenhearted? You don't have a burden. You come without a burden. You're always free and easy. I think all of us have been hit. We've lost family. We've lost in situations. Jobs have been difficult. Our hearts have been broken. We've been sick. We've suffered in some way or another. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear, but burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And then the chorus is, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And I like that song. I really do. I've heard it by many different artists, and I'm thankful that burdens can be lifted. We know what Calvary is. It's where Jesus died. But our church represents also that. We are franchisee of the Calvary where Jesus died. And we have opportunity to reach out to others to care about their need. When I was younger, I had a pastor named Virginia Nelson. Her favorite song was At Calvary. We sang that hundreds of times. And it was on page 111 in that particular hymn book. Not in ours, it's different. But it's years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Debbie, would you come to the piano? And we're going to pray, and then we're going to do our communion. And then I'm going to ask Donnie to lead us in prayer and pray for anyone that's sick after that. I know this is going a little longer than usual, but we'll have the rest of the day to recuperate. And I hope the Lord touches every heart today. Let's pray. Jesus, we cannot, with 10,000 tongues, we could not express our gratitude for your suffering on Calvary. Lord, we thank you that you were born of a virgin, lived a perfect, righteous life, submitted to the will of the Father through all of your life and at the end. May this cup pass from me, but nevertheless thy will be done. We know of the horrific death and then the resurrection. Up out of the grave you arose with a mighty triumph over the foes. It's finished. Delivered, sitting at the right hand of the Father to forgive our sins and to help our situations. And you're coming back again to receive us unto yourself. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to us today the fullness of all you've done, the completeness of our salvation, healing, and deliverance. Thank you. Thank you. Minister today. You see the hearts of your people. Minister. Minister, Lord. Shandoroko Sokoramata. Minister, Lord. By the power of your Spirit, minister. Deliver, set free, help us, O God. We reach to you. Thank you for this communion we're about to partake of. Thank you for everyone as we take the cup and the bread. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Donnie, would you come and help us with the communion? I have the scripture if you want me to read it. We always go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, and we're going to let you pass that out, because then we're going to read the scripture and have prayer. Thank you. we invite everyone to partake this morning. We want, this communion is always open in our church. We bless you today with the provision that the Lord has given us all. Paul wasn't present, but someone he knew close was at the Last Supper. But he knew what had to be done in remembering the Lord. And he knew that when the Lord had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." So we use the cracker to represent the body of the Lord. And this is broken for you, 39 stripes. Painful, torturous, before the death of Christ, before he gave up his spirit. This is broken for you, broken for us. Do this in remembrance. All we got to remember. Do this in remembrance of me. Audrey, would you ask the blessing on the body that was torn? Let's partake together of the bread. Paul continues on in the same manner. He took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me," representing the blood of Christ. We do not believe that this grape juice converts into the blood of Christ, but this is a symbol of the blood, and what we believe is that we can remember the blood that covers our sins. This week as I was praying, I pleaded the blood over some of our situations, Brother Don, Mike Watson, Brother Arden, Brother Henry and Sister Watson, and myself, those who are suffering. I pleaded the blood over the church, over each and every one, and we can plead the blood. But let's remember right now, and let us partake together. For For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We remember, Lord, we hold fast to the doctrine of your blood and your broken body. We remember, Lord, until you come to receive us, a rapture of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. I don't know when. No one knows when. Everyone that ventures a guess has been wrong so far. But we must be ready. We must be ready. We don't know when he's come. The scripture says, occupy till I come. Let's work. Let's do what we've been doing. I have no admonition to change anything in this church. Keep it up. And God give you strength. And God bless you. But the hope is Jesus is coming. Then we'll meet together in the air. We used to sing every time we come to church, there's going to be a meeting in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Calvary Temple Church, beloved of God, there's going to be a meeting in the air. There's going to be a meeting in the air. We're going to go. Pray for your family. We want them all to go with us. Pray for your family. Praise God. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. And we remember. Lord, we remember. And we look forward to your coming. We don't know when, but we're ready. And we want others to join us and be ready. Bless your people. Touch the needs. And anoint us to pray for the sick this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that's Donnie.
We would like an opportunity for anyone who wants to come up for prayer to come up. And obviously we're going to pray for Dad because he's going to head back to the hospital and not be with us next week. So we want to pray for him before he goes. In on Wednesday, and that the Lord move in his body. If there's anyone else who wants prayer, feel free to come up for prayer and let us know. Otherwise, we invite you to come up and pray with Dad. Pray for Debo's shoulder as well, your left shoulder, neck and shoulders. Okay.
Thank you. Precious Lord, we pray your mercy. Oh God, we call on you for this help, for this healing, Jesus. You're so wonderful to touch us, to love us today. I pray in Jesus' name for the mercy of God to come right now. Bring this healing and deliverance. Lord, we're so thankful for what you did on Calvary. Thank you for your tender mercy. We pray, Lord, your grace. Your grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Anyone else that wants prayer today, we want to pray for you. We care about your need. Brother Arden, let's touch Brother Arden today.
Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Arden this morning.
Pray, Jesus, mercy. Give Brother Arden that delivering grace. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you because you've done so much. How many times have you touched Brother Arden? Many times. We just say, Lord, one more time. One more time. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Sister Frida.
Yes, Jesus.
I also fell at work this week, so I have a big lump on my knee.
Jesus, we pray for Sister Frida.
Jesus, we pray for Sister Frida.
Touch her from head to toe.
For her.
Give her your delivering grace.
That you just move in her body, Lord God.
Almighty God.
Take it away, Jesus, and heal her, Heavenly Father, in her knee, Jesus. That you heal as well, Lord God. You are a healer, Jesus.
In Jesus'
name. Lord, you love and care for each one of our needs, Heavenly Father.
Thank you,
your
mercy,
to heal and move
your grace. Thank you,
Jesus. We pray.
Thank you,
Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power, Jesus.
Holy God.
Thank you, Father God, for all that you've done.
Praise
you. Continue to preserve her and heal her and lift her up, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace.
Jesus, we pray, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Donnie, let's pray for Grandpa, too, because he fell.
Lord God, we pray for Jim Wilbanks,
Heavenly
Father,
Jesus,
that you touch him, Lord God, and heal him from the fall that he had this week,
touch
Lord God,
Grandpa,
and
his
injury on his arm,
touch
Heavenly Father,
Jim,
we just pray
Lord,
that you
mercy,
strengthen him
mercy.
From head to
your
toe.
Mercy,
he's still very
Jesus,
banged and bruised from that fall, Lord Jesus, and we just pray that you move
your
in
mercy.
His strength and healing and restoration in his body, we pray, Father God, we love
your
you,
mercy,
thank you for your healing power,
your mercy,
we pray that you heal him. Today, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. In Jesus' name for Jim. In Jesus' name for Jim.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We pray for Brother Henry this morning today, Lord
yes,
God. We pray
Jesus.
That you move in him in strength,
Lord,
Heavenly
touch
Father.
Henry.
Touch his knees and
mercy,
his legs
God.
And his back, Lord God, from head to toe. We pray for strength and restoration, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for your power. Thank
Hallelujah.
You for your spirit moving
Hallelujah.
In us, Lord, and strengthening us, Lord God. He's a deacon of the church, Lord God, and been a pillar of this church for so many years. And we just pray that you bring strength into his body, strength into his mind, Lord God, strength from head to toe, Lord God. Restore, Heavenly Father, restore, Jesus, in your holy name we pray, Jesus.
Jesus.
We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody else?
Hallelujah.
Let's go ahead and pray for Dad then.
Praise you,
Father
Jesus,
God, we
Lord,
know that you know
mercy.
What it is that he's facing,
your tender
Heavenly
mercy,
Father.
Jesus, your tender mercy.
We know that you, Lord God, and only
Hallelujah.
You can move in healing in his body, Lord Jesus. We've seen the results of what the doctors have done, and the results of the chemo that's been
Jesus,
done, and it did not take
Jesus.
Away that cancer, Lord God.
Holy God.
In your
Holy
name,
God.
Jesus, we pray against that
Holy
cancer.
God.
We pray against
Holy
leukemia. In the name of Jesus, for your healing power to come into his body, into his marrow, Heavenly Father, to eliminate and remove Lord God, cancer, to heal his spine, to heal his legs, Lord Jesus, to bring strength and restoration into his body, we ask in your name, Jesus. By your Spirit, Lord God, you are able, Heavenly Father, you are able to say a word, you are able to extend a hand, Lord God of healing. Lord, we pray that you reach out in healing and power and strength to restore him today, Lord God. To touch his body and remove this cancer, we curse this cancer in your holy name, Jesus. We curse this cancer. We bind it up in the name of Jesus. And by the power of your cleansing, healing, saving blood, we pray, Lord Jesus, to heal him, Lord God. To move, Lord God. Move in miraculous power. Lord God, we love you and praise you for all that you are and all that you do. All that you've done so far, we thank you and praise you, Father God. Bring complete restoration, God. Bring complete healing, Lord God. Finish the work that you've started in your name, we pray, Jesus. Finish the work that you've started in his body, Lord Jesus. We ask in your name, Jesus. We ask in your name, Jesus. Every cell, Lord God, the marrow, the blood, fix and cleanse it in your holy name, we pray, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Strengthen his legs. Strengthen his spine. Bring it all back in your holy name, we pray, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father God.
I feel Jesus in this place. And I'm so grateful that we do. I'm so grateful that we do. And we'll pray for each other. And God will get us through. I know we've got a lot of big things we're asking the Lord. Amen, Brother Arden? Amen, Brother Kevin? We've got big things. But we're asking for family. We're asking for friends. You know one thing I realize? I can pray for Dave. But what Dave's concerned about is Melva. So we've got to pray for Dave and Melva. We've got to pray for Dave's family. He's got three kids, right? Three kids and grandkids. And we've got to pray for... Do you have any great-grandkids yet? Great-grandkids yet? One. We've got to pray for the family because that's what concerns Dave and for each and every one of you. Debbie, you have something you want to share?
Together. So Lydia is just part of the family. We love
Amen.
Her. But we want to sing happy birthday to Claire before we go.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Claire. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much for being with us. We pray God be with you this long weekend and then short week after. Glad for that. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. It's so good to see you. Please come back and join us. We appreciate you being here. Good to see you. Tell Melva, we're praying. We care. Henry, Lord, bless you. Good to see you. Bless you. It's so good to see you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're like a locomotive through everything.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Don't know. Next week, probably for sure not. Maybe the next weekend, or if not, the following.